This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's time to go blitzing all around the Beltway. We'll start you off with the football team. We will then navigate through DC sport as only we can. And this, our 12 o'clock segment, jamming clubs into one 10-minute span for you on your lunch break every day on G&D. Let's get it popping. Craig Hoffman is our Redskins beat reporter. Go to thefandc.com to read his story. He had a report. Craig, I want to get your reaction because Doug Williams actually apparently went on the air today and said he didn't meet with Dwayne Haskins and that he didn't tell him he was going to be the starting quarterback. But you have people telling you that did happen, so where are we at?
Yeah, I was told that it happened. I was told that it happened on Monday. And so, of course, it behooves them to deny it. I'm not surprised. But I'm also very curious, just kind of as a study almost, what the fan base reaction is. Like, do they believe us and me specifically, a reporter who's got a pretty good track record, I'd like to think, or do they believe an organization that has not exactly been the most forthcoming and honest over the past couple of years? Like, this is a real test for them in some way. But the most important thing in all of this is what Dwayne feels. And if all of a sudden, let's say I'm right, which is something, again, that I think I am. Otherwise, I wouldn't have said the thing and I wouldn't have reported it. This is not something that I take lightly. It's not like I just make stuff up and throw it out there. If this meeting happened and they're publicly denying it, Dwayne's not going to be happy about it. And that's a separate issue that they need to be most concerned, not with me, not with any public fan reaction. They need to be most concerned with how Dwayne feels. And I would think that stepping away from publicly backing him is not something that's going to make him feel great.
I wonder if the reasons maybe you come out and you deny it, even if it did happen, is, you know, Bill Callahan's at the podium saying, I'm going to make the decision after watching all the film. Your report is that they told Dwayne Haskins before that press conference even took place that he was the guy. And, of course, we found out the same day, according to J.P. Finley, that Bill Callahan was told he gets to call the shots and is in control of the roster and Dwayne Haskins. So something's not adding up here in the way of if he hasn't made the decision, but the front office already told Haskins he's the guy, that's a really bad look for everybody.
Right, which is why it behooves them, again, to not say publicly that, you know, what I reported is true. And it's something that I just, again, like we talked about this a little bit the other day, I don't get why they wouldn't go ahead and publicly back him for all of that, for all the reasons we discussed in terms of the fact that he is a kid who pays attention and all that kind of stuff. But the discord within the organization, you know, that was something that we thought was there under Jay, but, you know, then all of a sudden Bill takes over and they do the same thing with him. And it's like, well, maybe it wasn't. Maybe there was other reasons they needed to move on from Jay. And now all of a sudden, you know, you have a head coach who is reluctant to make this move for whatever reason. And clearly, I think a front office and other people on that staff and all kinds of people around the organization going like, dude, we're 1-8. Play the kid. It's time. And I think that the substance here is the bigger issue. The substance here, like often I think around this team, the messaging and how it's delivered is a bigger issue because it speaks to larger dysfunction. But here the dysfunction is the substance. The substance is Dwayne Haskins should be playing and they should be publicly supporting him and they're not, and that's weird.
Well, Craig, there you mentioned it. It kind of gets into my larger issue with them. So whether you give them the benefit of the doubt on this story or another, I think ultimately the big picture isn't relevant because they're trying to fight a battle that even if you win it, so what? I think of the same thing with Trent Williams. Let's say you prove Trent wrong in every arbitration hearing. Does it get you a win? You should have traded the guy. You know what I mean? Like, there's, I don't get why they engage in these things that they seem to be engaging in, right? Where's the upside? What am I missing?
On Trent, at least you can make the argument that it saves face for their medical staff and it has an effect on other players and how agents and whatever, but that loses a little bit of steam when you realize what the reputation is. Like, guys know it's out there that this is not a good medical staff. In terms of fighting a story like this, I think it's just, you know, you want to look functional. You want to look like you have yourself together as an organization and that everybody's on the same page and they make Redskins decisions and all that, that stuff that Bruce loves to say all the time, that, you know, rare times that he does speak. But they want all that to be true. And it's one thing for it to actually be true, and it's another thing for you to want people to think that it's true when it's not. And it certainly seems like that is where we are right now. I don't, you know, there's only so much that detail that I have about this. You know, it could have been really easy for Doug to also say, like, no, I was just encouraging. Because I don't know the nature of the meeting. Like, when I reported it, I was very clear to say, I don't think this might not have been exactly Doug naming Dwayne the starter. It might have been like, hey, dude, you're our future starter. Prepare as such, you know, encouraging, yada, yada, yada. And instead of even taking that easy out and characterizing it that way, whether it was or not, they just flat out deny it and say that no meeting ever took place or no discussion took place. And it's just... it's weird. It's not true. It did. It happened.
Craig, thank you, buddy. Appreciate it as always.
You got it. See ya.
Talk some hoops, please, Tommy. Bring in our buddy Chase Hughes of NBC Sports Washington, who covers those Wizards. Chaser, Rui Hachimura got shut out last night in a blowout loss. It ended up being not that comical, just in terms of the final score. The Wizards were competitive, and they keep fighting, which I give him credit for. But Hachimura's been really great to start the season. I think a game like last night's where he's going to have some problems when Indiana goes small, and he's kind of chasing around more athletic threes, and he couldn't really contribute that much. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, two times in the last three games, not only has Rui Hachimura struggled offensively, but also, Scott Brooks has gone away from him. His opponents have gone small. I think what you saw last night for him going scoreless and missing all five of his shots was going up against a really disciplined and good Indiana defense, and they took away the mid-range shot. And they also have some bruisers down low, and he wasn't able to score around the rim. And though he's been able to make a few threes so far in his career, that's what he really needs to improve on to make himself more versatile on the offensive end. You're right, he's been mostly impressive, but there's certainly going to have to be an adjustment on his part because it seems like opposing defenses have figured him out at least a little bit.
I haven't watched a ton of NBA outside of the Wizards yet with the Nats running everything going on. They're giving up so many points. Is this right now happening all around the association where 120, 130, 140 is kind of a thing, or is this just that the Wizards are playing no defense?
Well, it is kind of a thing, but the Wizards are, I think, when it all settles, going to be one of the worst defenses in the NBA. You know, they were the third worst defense last year in terms of points allowed, and basically the only teams that were worse, Cleveland and Atlanta, were two of the worst defenses the league has ever seen. The Wizards had their worst defensive rating in franchise history last year, and I don't see any way that they don't top it this year because they revamped their roster. I thought they did a lot of smart things, but they brought in zero guys where, like, defense is their MO. They brought in a lot of offensive players. It's almost like they pushed that down further down the line, like they'll figure out their defense at a later date. So they don't have rim protectors. They don't have anyone who can really defend the three-point line either. And I think collectively, overall this season, you're going to see a bad defense, but maybe a team that can score a lot of points because they've got shooters.
And to your point, GP, 20 teams in the league are averaging 107 points allowed or more. So it is kind of a trend
crazy
league-wide, but the Wizards are even, you know, leading that trend, I would say. Chase, last one for you. Isaiah Thomas. I like Isaiah Thomas. I'm rooting for that guy, but I'm rooting for him to play well so he can be traded for future assets. What's his role going forward?
Well, so he started on the bench, and he only played two games. It was really, really good. He was averaging about 16 points and 7 assists. So they put him into the starting lineup, and they won that first game, but he hasn't been putting up the same numbers or shooting the same percentage in the starting lineup than he did off the bench. So I think there's a question now, is he better as a guy who just provides a scoring punch in that second unit? So we'll see what Scott Brooks wants to do with him. But, you know, I think there is an argument to be made that if you want to showcase Isaiah Thomas, maybe for a trade, or if he wants to earn another contract, maybe having him in the starting lineup is the right move. And also, he does present a much higher ceiling than Ish Smith, who's much more of a backup at this point in his career. So as far as his role, in a nutshell, I would say he's probably the second shot creator, second scoring option. Now, whether he's going to be a starter or a bench player long term, we'll see.
Chase, thank you, pal. We appreciate you.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
All right, from the Wizards to their roommates, the Caps. J.J. Reagan, NBC Sports Washington. J.J., finally a game tonight after a three-day hiatus. The boys are rolling right now. What do they have to do to make sure these 3 days don't slow them down a little bit?
Well, they need to keep playing the way they're playing. They need to continue getting depth scoring. I mean, when you can get three goals from Jacob Vrana, things are going to go pretty well. He's been red hot right now. And I think they need to keep playing as well as they are defensively. I think one of the biggest question marks for this team right now is the second defensive pairing. Racco Gudas was brought in to be a third pairing guy, and he right now is playing the right side of the second pair. It hasn't cost him yet. He's played fine. The team has played fine defensively, but if you're looking for the overall weakness of this team, I think that would be it. So I'm interested to see how it looks going forward, especially against a good offensive team like Florida.
Samsonov, I was way off. I thought he's played well. I feel like Braden Holtby, anecdotally, hasn't played that great at times. What are your thoughts there on the goalie situation?
Yeah, I wonder, you know, we take for granted how mentally strong these players can be. Braden Holtby is facing a situation where this could be his last season in Washington, and his potential replacement is sitting on the bench behind him. I wonder if that contributed to his slow start to the season. He's been lights out since that brief reset we saw a few weeks ago. Samsonov has done nothing to disprove the fact that he's going to be the starter in Washington. That's just going to happen. If you take a goalie in the first round of the draft, that's what you want him to be. So that's going to happen. I anticipate this being the last season for Braden Holtby in Washington. But he's done well rebounding from early struggles. And so now the Capitals have a pretty dominant goalie tandem going on.
JJ, thanks for the time, buddy. We appreciate you. Enjoy the game tonight.
Anytime, guys.
See you, buddy.
That is your Beltway Blitz. We're Grant and Danny. You're listening to The Fan. Next, what if the Redskins are picking in the top three? And one of the great college quarterbacks, maybe it's Tua, maybe it's Burrow, available and sitting there for him wherever they're on the clock. Should they just pass up on those guys because they got Haskins, or should that quarterback be in play? Next on The Fan. Redskins bye week means you get to enjoy a Sunday of football.
The best.
Sit on your couch, fire up NFL Red Zone, hop around game to game. You don't have to worry about the Redskins disappointing you on Sunday.
That's you can't hurt news. Me today.
Bad news is, at some point, we're running this thing back for seven more. We only get 16 of these, Danny. You know what I like to say? We only get 16. When they play again, Dwayne Haskins is probably going to start. I think we're all expecting that. There was a report yesterday, among others, Albert Breer, I think, came out and said that the Redskins are turning the offense over to Dwayne Haskins post-bye week. Craig Hoffman just joined us. He's reported that Doug Williams had a meeting with Dwayne Haskins where he told him, expect to start. And this was before Bill Callahan, in a press conference, said he wasn't willing to name a starter just yet and needed to watch more film. Now, in fairness, Doug Williams has come out publicly since and said that meeting didn't happen. But we just talked to Craig, and he's sticking by his report saying that it did. None of that really matters. Here's the question, though. Assuming Haskins is the guy, we all think that's going to be the case for the last seven games, and he goes out and he starts and he plays, there's great debate over whether we'll have enough sample to know what Dwayne Haskins is. I think we can all agree, though, that if you judged every quarterback off of the first 9 or 10 games they played in their career and off of their first 8 starts, you really wouldn't have known what you were ultimately getting. And if you gave up on every quarterback after 8 games who didn't look like the next big great thing, you'd have missed out on a bunch of the best ever. But if the Redskins are picking in the top 3, Danny, and they have a chance at Joe Burrow, LSU, Tua Tagovailoa, Alabama, maybe it's Justin Herbert from Oregon, whoever it is, they have a chance at the guy that they fall in love with in the top 5. Some have said you can't draft another quarterback because you already took Dwayne Haskins and you have to see that commitment through. Could they be in the quarterback market, or would that be unfair after taking Haskins a year ago?
I don't care about fairness. This is pro sports. I don't care if it's mean or if it hurts somebody's feelings. I care about a good process. And to me, here's how I look at this. I try to put numbers on it. You could quibble with my percentages, and I think that's fine. I'm open to debate there. Let's just say, for the sake of argument, option one, I chronicled this yesterday at Funny Danny, Grant's at Grant H. Paulson. Option one, QB already under contract and in-house has a, let's call it a 20 to 25% chance of turning out to be pretty good, right? You can quibble with it. You could say it's lower, say it's higher, whatever you want. Let's say that's the case. And I get a slew of picks to try to rebuild a roster in desperate need of rebuild. That's option one. Option two, quarterback that maybe has a, let's say you're bullish, what, 70 to 75% chance of being really good? Let's say it's Burrow. Let's say it's Tua. Let's say it's Herbert. Whoever you want, right? Whoever you really love right there in the top five. And no extra picks for a roster that's got salary cap issues. Three of their top six players aren't playing for them at this point, and that's probably going to be the case next year as well. They're bereft of talent. They need an influx of talent, young, controllable talent. That's option two, is really good quarterback, potentially, with no extra picks. I will take option one every time. Every time, because I want that haul. I want that draft haul more than I want
Hang on one second,
Tua,
though.
And I want Herbert or whoever.
Right, right, right. But we're not saying what should they, that to me, that's a topic for months from now. What should they do with the draft pick if they're in the top five? Should they trade back? Should they get more picks? Should they take a pass rusher? All that stuff. The question to me, unless you want to change it right now, but I think the one we're trying to throw out to our listeners is, should they be able to draft a quarterback with that pick or not? That isn't asking should they acquire a King's Ransom worth of selections and what's best for the team and all these things. If they really like a quarterback at number two overall, Joe Burrow or Tua Tagovailoa, because the other one went one,
right?
Should they be able to draft that guy or should they not because they just took Dwayne Haskins? To me, that's the big question.
I suppose they can consider it. I wouldn't, because my argument, I can't help but bleed it into the thing that I just said that you don't want to talk about. But that's where I'm at. I go, if a new quarterback comes in here, he's going to face the same terrible situation, and he's going to get dragged down. I want to improve the situation.
So that has less to do with Haskins to you and more to do with just the overall
And I've already
structure.
Got a guy in-house that still has a chance. It's probably not as good a chance as one of these guys coming out, to be honest with you, because I've been disappointed. I was bullish on Haskins.
You were Bullis High School.
I was Bullis High School and bullish, Merrill Lynch style. I thought he'd be way better than he is at this point. I now recognize this is a project, but I still try to see projects through and give them a chance. I don't think he had a great chance this year to succeed. I really don't. This is a bad team that doesn't understand how bad they truly are. I'd like to see to give that an opportunity. Not because it's nice and it's kind to Dwayne Haskins. It's not fair to him. I don't care about fairness. It's pro sports. If you want fairness, you know, go do something different. This, to me, is more of a what's their best chance to be really, really good. And it's to me, it's not selecting one of these new shiny toys the next year when you've already got a guy under contract.
So this goes against how I've kind of always felt and I will always feel. I'll still, after this, regardless of what happens, feel like you're not going to have a great read on a quarterback in a year's worth of evaluation. I think, though, you can tell on a binary sometimes if a guy's got it or he doesn't. Here's what's tough for me is I'm not just basing this on my eyeballs. I'm basing this on a lot of people I talk to.
Yep.
Many of whom are still in the building. And they are not sold on him. And it's not just the playing, which has been a rig problem, and some of the physical stuff, which you know, a lot of people will tell you he's got a really strong arm. And then the other passing things, accuracy and anticipation, are problems and aren't strengths. You know, what else, as someone asked me, does he hang his hat on? What do you say he does well? I said, well, he's got a big arm. Okay, what else? Because their point is that's the least important thing for quarterbacks. I think that's a fair question.
Yep.
I don't have an answer to that just yet. I hope I have one in 7 weeks. But I got to see something here. He's got, if he is at the end of this season showing me about what he is now, then I am absolutely willing to draft a quarterback in the top five and go against what I normally say is the case. Because with all these other guys, you know, you name the QB that's gone in the first round over the years. Josh Rosen, I would have even said this about. I saw enough to think maybe he could play.
Mm-hmm.
Baker Mayfield, Lamar Jackson. Pick the first round quarterback, and we can go through some of the highs, some of the right away flashes moments. We didn't see many of those in the preseason. We saw a couple against scrubs that aren't in the league right now. But by and large, we saw bad throws. We saw interceptions. We saw inaccuracy.
No, we did.
Saw a long time to do things in the pocket. And it's only gotten worse in the regular season against starters. I just want to see something. If he can show me something, then I am willing to do the Danny Ruggier plan, which is, let's not worry about a quarterback right now. But the last part of this, the big caveat would be, what if Joe Burrow's the dude? You know, what if Tua Tagovailoa can't miss and somehow Anthony Rendon style at number six because
he
of a couple weird things happening? he fell into your lap at 3 or 4. You're just going to say no thanks because Dan Snyder made you draft Dwayne Haskins last year, which is another part of this that I think shouldn't be forgotten. Jay Gruden didn't stand on the table. Everything I can tell is that Kyle Smith and his scouting staff didn't scream that they had to draft this guy. This was a Dan Snyder decision. So because Dan, who's probably the least football smart person in the room,
who's the least qualified to make the pick,
decided that's the guy that he was it. The guy, now yeah. You got to saddle yourself for the next year and a half or 2 years if everyone's saying, I don't like how this looks. I don't like whatever it is. Maybe it's the arm or it's not the arm strength, but you know some of the accuracy. Maybe it's the work habits. Whatever they say, if enough people in the building are going, I don't think this is our guy. And then you got a chance at Burrow or Tua. Mm-hmm. To just rule that out and say they absolutely can't do it, I think is a little bit strong. All I'm saying.
Let me be clear here.
I guess my point is, I want to be able to have a discussion at the end of the year about a quarterback if you fall in love with a quarterback.
So I think, and this is an important distinction to make, by the way, I don't believe it because I think some have characterized your position incorrectly. I think you're not saying we should draft another quarterback.
No.
The Redskins should draft another quarterback. If Dwayne Haskins doesn't play well this season, they should draft a quarterback in the first round. You're not saying that. I think what you're asking for is, can they even have a conversation?
Right.
And they should have a conversation without a doubt.
Should they be allowed to draft another quarterback? Should it be a possibility? I'm not saying he's a bust yet.
Yeah, so let's say that it's possible, but I wouldn't advocate for it. I guess that's where I'm at. I'm not strongly saying, no, hard and fast rule, you can't do that.
I think a lot of people are.
Yeah,
I see people that say Dwayne Haskins is a bust, and I think that's ludicrous and preposterous. He's got no help. This is a terrible situation. Mm-hmm. He's on his second coach. I think in some ways I feel bad for this guy. He's a victim in some circumstances here. However, I can also tell you I have not been impressed at all. And by now, halfway through the first season, I would say 95% of the quarterbacks that end up really good in this league have flashed more than him. Is that fair?
That is absolutely fair.
800-636-1067 is the number on Grant and Danny. Should they be able to play the quarterback game again if we get to the end of the year and we're in a similar boat than we're in right now with Dwayne Haskins? Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. Redskins are on the clock at number 2 right now. Let's just say the draft's held today.
Yep.
Because these 7 games, I think, are going to determine what we're going to do individually in our minds, what the Redskins are going to do with Haskins. But today, the draft's being held. They pick 2nd, and Burrow or Tua goes 1. Would you take the other one at number 2?
I definitely would not. I'm trading that pick. I definitely would not do it. I think it's you're chasing fool's gold there. The guy that would be good almost any other place wouldn't be as good here, and it's diminishing return. This roster needs a major influx of talent, and they need as many picks as possible.
Yeah, I think you could influx the talent. I think you could give it a shot in the arm. You could go spend money and bring in players. You got 6 more rounds of draft as well, and you know, you could trade a bunch of guys and get draft picks early this offseason who are veterans on this team too. So I think you could probably do both. Today, I think I would probably lean toward doing that, but my sincerest hope is, and the beauty of this whole thing, is that you don't have to draft today. That Haskins does enough in the next 7 weeks. That doesn't mean wins. That doesn't mean even touchdowns or yards.
Right.
Just looks enough like a worthwhile prospect. I have such a low bar here. I promise you this bar is so low.
It's such a reasonable bar.
I just need him to look like a guy that a year from now could be pretty good, and 2 years from now could be leading this team to the playoffs.
Give folks a comp so they understand. Would you have said that about Jared Goff year one? Where you would have gone,
yes,
this guy's a disaster. Jeff Fisher's offense is high school. They
yes.
stink. But you saw a couple throws here and there, right?
Yeah, I think every time you watched Jared Goff, you saw NFL stuff. He stunk. He was a rookie who stunk. But you saw NFL stuff. A couple examples of games. We talked about him recently, so I have a couple games in my mind. I'll pull up the games log. Remember, similarly, he took over in week 11. So he only played the last several weeks as well.
Yep.
He had a 3-touchdown, 1-pick game against the Saints, just as an example. He had a multi-touchdown game against San Francisco where they lost by a point. Now, he ended up throwing about the same number of touchdowns as picks, 5-7. Dwayne Haskins does not have a touchdown yet, 0. He's got 4 picks. Now, if he throws 1-1 against the Jets, he's basically got a 5-1 ratio of interceptions to touchdowns. But, yeah, it's in and out of the huddle. It's putting up 235, 240 yards here or there in a terrible offense with bad players around you. Jared Goff did those things. Let's go to Dre in Manassas. What's up, Andre?
Hey, Dre.
I am so sorry, guys. I don't have Twitter. I'll Twitter you guys. But a quick question, hypothetically, because this is football. Let's just say everything remains the same, but Haskins suffers some kind of minor injury where he can't play for the rest of the season. Maybe stubs his thumb on a helmet. Maybe tweaks his knee. Something where he can't get those reps that we all know he needs. How would that change the equation for you guys?
That's an interesting question.
That is a real interesting hypothetical.
So my first response would be I would be really reluctant to take a quarterback at that point because I just have not seen enough. You can't grade Dwayne Haskins on these two book reports. It's an incomplete grade. I think my answer would be, you know what it is? What does my staff tell me about Burrow and Tua? Are they can't miss or are they pretty good? You know, are they this year's best guys? Or if put in a class with all the quarterbacks of the last 5 years, are they in the top three
or four? Fair question.
Because to me, it's almost more important to what those guys might be than Haskins. Because if the worst-case scenario is Haskins ends up being pretty good too, and one of those guys that I draft is pretty good, then I've got an asset I could move in a league where people need quarterbacks. But my default first thought answer would be I would probably not draft a quarterback if he got hurt right now and only played in one game as a starter.
Because all we saw with him when he got his week to prepare was he didn't ruin everything, right? He didn't just fumble every snap and hand off to the wrong guy and hit the mascot or do anything crazy. It was just not impressive.
Which nobody should have expected any of those things from a 15th overall pick. But that's true that he didn't do them.
Right. Given the reports, that's kind of what I expected. I expected a million sacks and seven picks and he'd be terrible. It just looked like anyone else running their bad offense, right? So at this point, you can't just say with the arrow trending, not upward. I'm not talking about a rocket ship here, but there's a slight uptick. Like, we got a little bit of a hill. We're climbing up a little bit in terms of the trend.
Let's go to Wayne and Bowie on Grant and Danny. Hey, Wayne.
Party on, Wayne.
Hey guys. I really enjoyed listening to you.
Appreciate you both.
Make great points. I want to bring out another point that I think is overlooked. Trent Dilfer won a Super Bowl with the Ravens. He wasn't nothing. He will not go to the Hall of Fame.
Nor should he.
Okay. With that said, how did they win the Super Bowl? They surrounded people, put people around him, and he just managed the game. Now, how does that equate to Dwayne Haskins? I listen to a lot of calls. People come in. He needs to do this. He needs to do that. One guy called on another show, said, I don't like him as quarterback. Make him a wide receiver. This guy, Haskins? In his last year or whatever at Ohio State, threw for 50-some touchdowns. I'm not going to compare that to the NFL. The NFL is quicker. They got the best of the best athletes. But you have to have some kind of skills to be able to do what he has to do.
Yeah, nobody's saying he doesn't have skills. I wouldn't take much stock into whatever person said, whatever they said about him as a wide receiver.
So maybe it was Lamar Jackson and we're confusing
that's
people.
That's what I'm guessing
but
he's talking about.
You show me that 2000 Ravens defense and you bring it here, which means you got to get what? 25, 30-some personnel decisions. Not only exactly right, but great contracts on a perfect storm. A lot of teams would like to have the 2000 Ravens defense. They're not walking through that door.
Yeah, the goal is to build a champion, however you got to do that. It is easier to worry about the one position and try to get that right when you're drafted in the top five than it is to build everything else perfectly around that one position. Not to mention, Sunday's game was a lot like the 2000 Ravens. It's about as close as it gets. You ran the ball exceptionally well. Your defense held your opponent all game long until the end of the ball game to 17 points. They didn't want to throw the ball either, by the way, for whatever reason. So it was just a lot of punting back and forth. And Haskins couldn't turn that into any points. You know, they couldn't score touchdowns. Now, maybe 2 years from now, he'd be able to do that. If this was Alex Smith last year or probably even Colt McCoy, maybe they win that game. I don't know. I also don't really care that they lost that game. The point is that to say, well, Dilfer did it that one time 19 years ago, so we could chase these ghosts if we want to. Trent Dilfer's not winning Super Bowls, and here's another big difference. In 2020, not only is Dilfer not winning Super Bowls, you would pay Trent Dilfer $20 million to do what he did that
year. That's the thing, yeah.
You know, back then, that guy made nothing. Now, if you're a starting quarterback in the NFL who doesn't beat yourself and doesn't get benched throughout the course of the year, you make $18 to $20 million. So it's harder to build those teams around those guys. Appreciate the phone call. 800-636-1067. Getting back to the point, though, if they're on the clock in the top three picks, would you be okay with them drafting a QB this coming year, knowing what we know right now? All of us understanding that Haskins' play in the next seven games are going to change this equation. But we're just talking about so far, if it's more of the same as of this moment, how would you feel about that? G&D on the Fan. Big announcement to come.
When you hear it, you'll go, oh my God, they teased it.
They did it. Grant and Danny did it. 800-636-1067 is the number on the Fan. Dwayne Haskins has not shown enough to feel confident about the future. We all agree with that. Now, the other part we have to all agree with, I think, is that this has been a really bad spot for this guy.
Yeah.
Lack of weapons, lack of opportunities, two head coaches already, two varying philosophies in terms of trying to win in the passing game a little more often versus trying to run the ball 1,000 times down people's throat. Now he's got, hopefully, it looks like, seven games to prove himself. It's not enough time to really know exactly what he is, obviously, but what would you think about? It looks like they are headed for a top five pick, and it's very possible they could be picking in the top three. If they have a chance to get their hands on one of the two quote-unquote can't-miss QBs in this class that are supposed to go 1-2 and Tua Tagovailoa and Joe Burrow, what would you think about taking one of those guys a year after you took Haskins and basically pulling a Cardinals and doing the Rosen to Murray thing? I don't think the Cardinals, by the way, I'm not sure that that's been a slam dunk yet, but I don't think they regret what they've done to this point, do you?
No, because they brought in the new coach and it's sexy and they're playing hard.
Redskins are bringing in a new coach,
yeah,
too.
It's exciting.
And what if the next coach wants one of those guys? What if he says, for what I want to do, I don't necessarily love Haskins in my offense, but Tua would be perfect, and then he's available at two.
Yeah, I just don't think that's a good way to go about it. And I get your point, is that these quarterbacks are just so rare that when you see one, you got to grab one, no matter when you grab the last one. I understand that. I think that's for a more typical organization that's not in the position that the Redskins are in. And maybe I'm talking out of both sides of my mouth here, but I just feel like with this aging roster, where, again, three of their top six guys will not play for them, one of the other top six paid guys is a disaster who they tried to trade but couldn't in Josh Norman, you need a massive influx and overhaul, and you have such a unique opportunity in a year where there are so many quarterbacks to get a massive Herschel Walker-style haul.
You could be
the Rams and be on the other end of the Robert Griffin trade this year. I think that's too good an opportunity to pass
up. So, and just in case you're just hopping in your car, don't call and say you want to trade back.
We know that.
It makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, we already know.
We're not, Danny keeps bringing that up, but we're not talking about that. We're talking about, would you take a quarterback or not if you're taking a pick there? Or should you rule out quarterback altogether? We all understand that trading back means you could add more assets and they need a lot of them. Cool. If you have to make a pick in the top three, is taking a quarterback there off the table? That's the question. Kevin in Arlington, how are you?
Hey, fellas. Yeah, so we're assuming, of course, that Dan is going to let a football person think through this equation and make the decision. And if that is the case, well, first of all, I want to back up for a second. We're talking about what Arizona did a year ago and, quote, unquote, giving up on Rosen quickly to go ahead and get Murray. I think as of today, Arizona's really happy they did that. Let's not also forget that, we gave up three number one draft picks and a second for Robert Griffin, who gave us a Rookie of the Year campaign and then a lot of headache and misery. If you don't have a quarterback who your football people think can make the progression to become a legit quarterback who can lead you to the postseason and possibly to the big game, then you're playing checkers while the good teams are playing chess. You absolutely aren't going anywhere, Danny. I don't care how many holes you have on your roster. And God knows we have more holes than just about anyone.
You're plugging them with duct tape at this point. Good call. Thank you, buddy. This is maybe not even fair to Haskins, but I think we're at a place now where we can at least ask it. And I hope that inevitably it turns out that this is not the case and it's not fair to him. Just hypothetically, though, Danny.
Uh-huh.
What if behind the scenes, at the end of year when they're evaluating, when people in the football department tell Dan and Bruce, I don't like the next 10 years with this guy, It's not necessarily because of the on-field stuff, but the off-field, where it's the work habits or the studying, whatever it is. You know, there have been these little rumors out there from Michael Lombardi and other people. And again, maybe it's not fair to him, but just to have this quick aside, what if that's part of it, where it's not just, we're not seeing it on the field, because if the off-field stuff isn't happening, then you have no chance. And you can know that way sooner than you, like a Manziel type situation.
Right, right, right.
Not to compare the two as human beings, because it seems like Haskins is a really good dude. My point is, I think teams know way quicker that a guy can't do it when he's not willing to do what it takes off the field.
If it's toxic, a.k.a. Manziel, then yeah.
It wouldn't be toxic,
but though. But then to me,
it
no.
It would just be the work might not be there. He's not studying like he needs to. Those
but
types
I,
of
but
things.
I think that's something you can also learn. You can learn how to learn. I really do. And I know it sounds like I'm doing nothing but making excuses. But how many stories have you heard about where it's like, oh my, then I realized what it took, right? Where guys, even you think at the college level, you were hot, you know what, coming out of high school, of course you were All-State. Everybody was. And
I'm just
then
saying,
you got
I
knocked
feel,
down.
I feel like if that's a problem too, then I worry even
then
more.
Then it compounds your worry.
Tom in Rockville, you're up.
Hey guys, thanks for taking my call. Appreciate the show as always.
Gotcha, buddy.
Just want to make two really quick points. The first is actually a counter argument to the point you guys just brought up about trading back and acquiring King's ransom. How often have the Redskins been in a position where they've had a top quarterback coming out, and we've been in a position to actually take him without having to give up a King's ransom? The way I look at it is, if one of those quarterbacks is up there at the top of the draft and, you know, your football guys are telling you they might be the guy for the next decade, this is a once in a several year, potentially even several decade opportunity to get a top, you know, one of these top flight quarterbacks without having to give up three first rounds in a second in order to do it when that opportunity might not be there in the future. And the second point I'd make is specific to Dan Snyder. I mean, we talk about, the decision to bring in Dwayne Haskins being a Dan Snyder and Bruce Allen decision. What's to say that the decision to move on from Dwayne Haskins and when that happens won't be a Dan Snyder and Bruce Allen decision?
I'm assuming it will as of right now, right?
Right.
Thanks for the call. I mean, how could we assume otherwise? It doesn't look like they're bringing in a general manager here.
God forbid, right?
Jay Gruden in year five or year six wasn't getting the cut of safety. You think the head coach is going to get to pick his quarterback right off the bat? I mean, he should, but I don't know that that's the case. Here's a question that'll be interesting to tackle next. And we'll move on. We'll squeeze in a few more calls and then hop back to the Nats and a couple things you and I wanted to do in our last hour. But this would be interesting to get some thoughts on, and I want to see what you think about this. Should their next head coach, as part of that interviewing process, stands to reason you have this investment in Haskins. Should they hire someone who comes here saying, let me make this guy great? I want to work with him. I'll build my offense around him. It's me and it's Dwayne Haskins as a package deal. Or should they do what they did with Jay Gruden, where he didn't say that about Robert Griffin? That wasn't a big part of the hiring process. He was the guy they wanted,
right?
And they hoped Griffin would be the quarterback that he wanted. But instead of just hiring someone that comes in here and maybe they do want Joe Burrow in that draft, should they, in the interview process, basically hire someone who wants to work with Dwayne Haskins?
Make this square peg work.
800-636-1067 is the number on Grant and Danny.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.